Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
That's why I see emanation.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see.
Shot, no shot brought to you by PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. PointsBet offering no juice on NFL games throughout the month of September. And those lines go up 48 hours before kickoff. Make sure you download their app. Stop by Hawthorne Racecourse to register your account. Danny, good morning.
Gentlemen, happy Victory Tuesday.
How are you, buddy?
I like to call it Nagy puts his foot in his mouth Tuesday.
Well, that's really a cumbersome line there. That's a long title there. By the way, when you see Aaron Rodgers, do you start to recoil now because he's trying to steal your look?
Well, he actually cut his hair.
No, he didn't.
Yes, yours is way longer, and his was
but,
as long
but
as
I
yours.
Started growing. No, his was never as long as mine. I started growing mine first. He didn't start growing his until recently. It's the same length as it's always been. I don't like that he has the cheesy 1998 Steven Seagal ponytail. It gives those of us with long hair a bad look, right? Like, that's not the style anymore, the slick back ponytail that Steven Seagal did. He needs to get past this awkward phase that he's in.
It is kind of an awkward phase, isn't it? I mean, I saw that. Again, they've been rolling those commercials with him with the guitar. I mean, he's entertaining, right? In a kind of a dull side kind of way, kind of a dull entertaining, right?
Yeah, my wife was watching that ad last night, and she's like, guy is everywhere now. Oh my goodness!
It is entertaining, though.
It is.
It's just. Is his personality turned up 100, right?
Do you know what else he's stealing from me? So El Presidente from Barstool Sports, Dave Portnoy, he got a text from Aaron Rodgers in the middle of the night. Obviously, Portnoy's a big shot, and Aaron Rodgers knows him. But Aaron Rodgers signed the text, love and peace. Now, you guys know that I say peace and love, which I stole from Howard Stern, who he stole from Ringo Starr. But I've been saying peace and love for 10 years, which I stole from Howard Stern. Now Aaron Rodgers is writing love and peace. So this guy is really trying to, like, one day I'm going to come home from work and he's going to be in my house with my wife and my kids, you know?
Oh, hey, Danny. Aaron?
Daddy, Danny. Danny, Danny. Wait a minute.
Don't call me Aaron. Call me Danny.
He's still so everything, funny. But that's not right.
I don't know what he's trying to do. All right, boys, let's get on to the shot or no shot portion of shot or no shot. Carlos Rodon looked solid in the first inning yesterday against the Tigers. He struck out two batters, but his outing was over after three innings. Rodon exited after 69 pitches and did not factor in the decision in the Sox 4-3 loss. Rodon spoke to reporters after. He said it's just normal soreness, nothing crazy. He was on the injured list back in August. He had left shoulder fatigue. I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, this Carlos Rodon injury is a major concern as the postseason fast approaches.
Well, that's a shot. There's no question about that. Cap and I have been watching Rodon very closely, and the intel that we were able to find out is that Rodon had a tired arm where he'd start off 89, 91 miles an hour and give up some runs, and then he got stronger as the game progressed. Well, you need to be at the top of your game in the first and second inning, not the fourth or fifth, and then thrown out of the, taken out of the game. It's very concerning, Cap, because he was already has been a down because of the arm issue. Hopefully he'll be ready for the playoffs. At least that's the hope.
Okay, I'm with Jonathan that it's a shot. I also noted something today in the paper when he was speaking to the media yesterday. They were asking him about, no, I'm not concerned, blah, blah, blah. And then they asked another question, and he went, I think we're good, and he left.
Wow.
It was like, well, if you're not really hurt, why are you so triggered by that question?
He's frustrated, clearly.
Yes. No doubt.
He's a gamer, he's frustrated, and he wants to be on top of his game, and he's not right now. And I think he knows that the White Sox need him.
69 pitches, that's it.
So we're talking about Lynn, Giolito, and at this point, Cease. That's your 1-2-3 in a short series.
Lynn, Giolito, yes. And then if you don't have this dude, Dallas Keuchel's in play.
Oh, God.
Right? Well, you want him or Ronaldo Lopez?
Well, that sounds like a bullpen day if Keuchel's out there. I mean, I mean, he hasn't been consistent enough for me to believe in him. As a fourth starter, I guess.
Okay,
right?
You're the manager.
You have no choice.
And it's game four.
Yeah.
Are you starting Keuchel or are you starting Reynaldo Lopez? Because Lopez last week was awful.
Hey, Len, how do you feel? 3 days rest, you want to come back?
Exactly.
No, seriously, like, I mean, it's tough because from Keuchel, it's not consistent enough. Last couple starts, you know, decent, but not, to me, not consistent enough.
That's a fine. Danny.
Gentlemen, the Manning cast has been a major success. Peyton and Eli Manning, they do the broadcast on ESPN2 while the regular broadcast is going on during Monday Night Football games. So I ask you, gentlemen, shot or no shot, the Manning cast success will open up new world possibilities in sports broadcasting and will change how we view sports forever.
No shot. I watched some of that last night. It's fine. I like a more traditional broadcast. It's fine. They're still talking about a previous play when another one's going on. I can't listen to them talk about the old play when I'm trying to watch what's going on the game. Yeah, it's cool. It's Peyton and Eli, but there are not a lot of Peyton and Eli.
Let me ask you this question, Jeff. When you're watching football, are you locked in, sitting on the couch for 3 hours, or are you watching some of it and moving around, cooking, or doing other things with the kids?
Really interesting for me, Hoodie, because it really depends on when. Like Sunday, I generally try and carve out so that I'm in front of the couch because there's so many games happening, right?
Yeah.
And so in some ways, Sunday afternoon or late afternoon is distracted watching anyway if I'm watching three different games at once. But Sunday night and Monday night and Thursday night, at least for the first, you know, quarter or so, I'm moving around doing stuff because it's, you know, it's like right in the middle of dinner time or getting the kids ready for stuff.
So the reason why I ask that question is because if you get the Manning brothers on, they're describing plays, but it's not the play-by-play, right, that you get from Steve Levy.
That's true.
So that's the whole thing. I'm not saying that the Manning broadcast is bad. And the reason why that I like it is because it reminds me of the college football championship. They have four or five different versions of
Correct.
It. I watch the coaches' film room every year for the national championship because I think it's fascinating. You got four or five coaches in there talking about plays and rewinding it. They're fast-forwarding it. So I don't mind it. I thought it was entertaining yesterday, but I understand when some people, you know, like the traditional broadcast. It will change it, Danny. I just wonder, would Major League Baseball, NHL, will the NBA experiment on something like this?
Yeah, and that was really the basis of my question. Not whether or not you liked it or not. It's how this is going to change the way we view sports. I think, you know, the old saying, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Mm-hmm. What they've done is open new doors for the way you consume sports broadcasts, and I think every sport now has to take this one step further. It's the way, podcasts change the way we consume audio. Now everything's on demand. It used to not be like that. You had to hear things live. People are listening to my voice right now in 12 hours from now, right?
Right.
Because of the podcast. I think what the Mannings and ESPN have done is taken the world of sports broadcasting and play-by-play one step into the future.
Yeah, and I think there are certain guys, like if Barkley and Shaq are watching a game, but you couldn't do 82 Bulls games that way. It would drive me insane.
No, it definitely works better because it's football, because it's one night a week.
Correct.
The weird thing is, Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, Brian Griese, they cannot be happy about the way this is playing out because they were given one of the marquee booths in all of football, right? And now they have to go head-to-head against their own network with the property with, I'm sorry, like in terms of social buzz, the Manning broadcast is really taking off unlike anything I've seen in a long, long time. Like you can't imagine a scenario where NBC would put the Mannings on up against Al and Chris. Fox wouldn't do it with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman calling a game, right?
But if you're
I can't
in a bar,
see that.
But if you're in a bar watching a game, and there's a lot of Sunday nights and Monday nights and Thursday nights, you go to a bar with your buddies. You can't watch the Manning broadcast because you can't hear it.
No, that's a good point. Like, but what they've done is because TVs are so big now, you can see both Peyton and Eli and the whole screen. I'm not saying it's definitely not a barroom viewing thing. This is you're at your house and probably by yourself. You're probably not hanging with buddies watching this broadcast. But if you're just at home on a Monday night which I think the majority of people are, right? You're not. Most people don't go to a bar on Monday night because they have work the next day.
By the way, speaking of alternative broadcasts, You did one with Greenstein and Kendall Gill. Watched that.
Correct. The gambling broadcast.
Wouldn't you rather for me to watch you than Stacey and
Well, you're my friend, and if it was you doing it, I would hope that you would think I would support you. Like, I listened specifically on a Friday night to hear my partner do the White Sox game.
It's only because you were driving to dinner. Otherwise, no
had
shot.
Had it on in the house.
No but shot.
Could you imagine if,
no
the, if the TNT broadcast...
No that is a shot.
No shot.
And you're better than that.
You know what? Sparky told me no.
Yeah.
How about that?
Guess what? Yoshi was sitting with me. Take that.
What about Sparky?
Stanley was there.
Sparky?
Sparky was outside.
Go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, could you imagine instead of hearing Chris Webber muddle his way through an NBA broadcast on TNT, you actually just got to watch Chuck, Shaq, Kenny, and Ernie in the green room doing exactly what Peyton and Eli do? That would be entertaining. Once a week. They don't have to do it for every game they have. Once a week. Once every other week.
I get them on the post game.
But watching the game, talking about the game. What's great about the Eli and Peyton broadcast is Peyton Manning is the smartest mind probably in the history of the NFL. He's questioning the calls of the Detroit offensive coordinator. He's telling us what Aaron Rodgers is thinking or what's going on in his helmet. He's telling us what Aaron Rodgers sees when Detroit's substituting guys. For most of us that didn't play in the NFL, that's eye-opening stuff. It's like hanging out with Peyton in a bar getting inside stories on the NFL.
Yeah,
that's,
I'd rather have it in a podcast, to be honest.
I know. You keep going back to you not liking it. I get it. You didn't like it.
I didn't say I didn't like it.
I get it. But I'm
it
just
okay.
Talking for the masses. The ratings are huge. People do like it. It was one of the most tweeted about things last night. Yeah. I get it. Dave Kaplan doesn't like it, but other people do.
I wonder, though,
and
what
there's
the ratings
an appetite
are.
For it.
Like, what are the ratings compared to the ESPN Steve Levy broadcast?
Yeah.
Like,
they don't give you that. They give you the mega cast combined rating, which last week was enormous.
Yeah, I understand why people would like it because it's something different, right? It's something new. I have no problem with that at all. I think it's cool. And if you are some of the other sports, Danny, as you mentioned, you should be able to look into that and say, how can we have a side channel, a second screen experience that will be as entertaining as the actual game?
You know, baseball broadcasts are boring for a lot of people. They just are. They're slow. If you're not into baseball, you're not into baseball broadcasts. True. It's slow and boring. If you could find a way to jazz it up with an entertaining personality who also has more insight on the game than anybody else, I think it would make for a much better product.
And the ball busting is always good too. You know, you mentioned how Peyton is the smartest guy in the history of the NFL, but then Eli, Peyton had some call in the game, and it didn't go through. And then Eli said, "Nice job, Romo."
Yeah, he called him Romo. He's a great straight man. I tell you, Eli Manning is a great straight man.
And they got to get the Zoom better with Favre.
Well, Favre just sucked. They should just never have Favre back. Like, one of the problems with the show is you're reaching for a big name, right? It's the Green Bay Packers. You think, let's put on Brett Favre because he's the face of the franchise for the last...
And a friendly guy.
Exactly. He was terrible. He was just a bad guest. You have to do better with the guests that you book. Like, Gronk was outstanding.
But Favre did give some great insight on how tough it is when you change systems. Like, he said, when you change coach, he goes, I went to the Jets. He goes... In Green Bay, it was the protection first, the play call second. He goes, I go to the Jets, and it's completely flipped. And I'm like, that was really tough. This guy's a Hall of Famer, man. And if it's tough for him, how tough must it have been for just journeyman quarterback?
And then what was in the red Solo cup of Peyton Manning? I'm thinking Tennessee whiskey.
We'll get to that. More on the Manning broadcast and what's in that cup next.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Woo. Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party.
Discussing that Manning broadcast, how many people did you just say to me at break, watch that?
Well, a media reporter from the Sports Business Journal who I follow, John Orand, does a great job, right? Orand says that last week the Ravens and Raiders had 800,000 viewers on the Manning cast. And he says, I'll take the under because of the matchup with the Packers and the Lions as far as this last Monday's broadcast.
Oh, yeah, last night.
Yeah.
under 800,000.
He thinks it might be over. Okay. You know, again, we're on so early. Those numbers don't usually come out until about noon.
Correct.
So we'll find out today exactly how both broadcasts did.
Okay, so last week, the one we have, 800,000, and the Ravens and the Raiders had 15.2 million watching on the regular broadcast.
Sure.
So, but it's still, of those 800,000, how many wouldn't have watched the regular broadcast and went, I'll watch because it's those dudes?
Yeah, I think that because it's new, it's about word of mouth, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone doesn't know about the Manning cast. And as the season progresses, people will know more about it, and they'll at least sample it a little bit, see what's going on.
Like if they did, and maybe they will, or maybe they do. Is Peyton involved in any podcasting? If they did a video YouTube channel.
Details.
Of,
I think on ESPN
Tuesday,
Plus, yeah.
Here's week two in review with Peyton and Eli. I would sign me up. I'd be all over it.
Yeah.
I'd subscribe to that in a second. But that would take production and work, and you'd have to pay them significant money to do that. But they could do that from their homes. That would be awesome.
They've got the money. If they want to do that, they got plenty of the money.
I think they're already being paid significantly for what they're doing on Monday night. I think it's an interesting question, though, Cap, because I think Cody's made points. Like, I'm a huge football fan, and I like to consume the game the way you're talking about, in the traditional sense. However, I will admit, because I am such a huge football nerd, and I spent so many years watching Peyton Manning dissect defenses at the line of scrimmage, to have the opportunity to get his insights as it's playing out right in front of me is very intriguing. I don't know how long it will last, but I find myself, yesterday I was like, am I going to go back to the other broadcast? And I was compelled because I kept waiting to see what Peyton and Eli were going to say. Mm-hmm. And so I'm into the game, and I'm admitting I'm missing some of the action of actually what's happening during the game because Peyton and Eli are taking you inside the game. And so as a viewer, I'm like, okay, what am I going to consume? I do want to see it in the normal way, but I cannot turn away from Peyton or Eli.
All right, so what is in the Red Solo Cup? I'm going to start on say I believe it's some kind of Tennessee whiskey. That's what I believe. That's in the Red Solo Cup for Peyton. That was part of the broadcast yesterday. Jay Cutler tweeted out to the Manning brothers, hey, I wonder what's in the Red Solo Cup. I'm thinking some kind of whiskey.
Yeah, well, Danny, I thought, had a good point in our IDOT bullpen that when the Bears are on November 8th, off of what you just said about Jay, why would they not have Jay as a guest?
And he's a good guest. You can hear him with Waddle and Sylvie every Friday at 3 p.m. He is a great guest, unlike Brett Favre.
Yeah, the whole thing with Brett Favre is that, I mean, the Wi-Fi is bad in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, or wherever the hell he is.
But not even the Wi-Fi. Like, there was a play, I don't know if it was the third quarter right after halftime when Brett Favre was on. The Lions had a 4th-and-1, right? And Peyton says, Brett, would you go for it here? Would you go for it here? And there's like a long pause that had nothing to do with his Wi-Fi, and Brett's answer was, what do you got to lose? It's like, oh, man, great mind-blowing insight, Brett. Thanks for joining us today, dude.
But then out of that, to what Danny loves, when they tried a really tough pass in the left flat, and there was no chance it was getting completed, and Peyton said, you're going for it. Why don't you give your quarterback something easier to complete or run the football and pick this up?
And that's where the broadcast is great because Peyton Manning says what went wrong. Most people watching the game probably on the regular ESPN is blaming Jared Goff. That was a bad throw, blah, 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 blah. Whatever the case may be, somehow it's the quarterback's fault. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning is bashing the call. He doesn't like the coaching there. He doesn't like the offensive coordinator's play right there. There's another good example. When Gronk was on, it was great. They were on the 10-yard line, the Lions. It's when TJ Hockenson scored the touchdown. Peyton asked Gronk, what would you do here? Gronk said, I would like to run the fade. Peyton disagreed with him. He goes, I wouldn't run the fade here. When you're at the 20, that's a perfect time for the fade. But for me, if I'm the quarterback, I want to run the ball up the middle because everybody's condensed in that small 10-yard area. I don't want to throw the fade there. And it was a good back and forth between two Hall of Famers, right? Gronk's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
There's a Tennessee sour mash here called Dickel. I think I want to try that.
And he had a great line, too, because he read Jay's tweet about what's in Peyton's Red Solo Cup, and Peyton said, well, it's not TB12 water.
I think I want that. I mean, I wouldn't say Jack Daniels. You know, Danny, I don't know if it's Jack Daniels. It might be something a little higher end. because it is Peyton Manning after all.
He's
right?
Peyton Manning. He's drinking. If he's drinking a whiskey or a bourbon, he's drinking Pappy Van Winkle.
Oh.
He can get his hands on whatever he wants. He's Peyton Manning.
Yes. Oh, that's high praise right there.
So
not Gentleman Jack, you're saying, right?
Probably not. Nothing wrong with Gentleman Jack. I'm just saying when you're Peyton Manning, right. house booze is probably a little bit higher stakes.
Okay, Hoodie, you do not have children. When you're at home, you can dial up the Manning thing and focus in and watch and hear all of it. Danny has three kids. Meller has two kids. Danny, if you were not in this profession, you were Danny the architect, would you be able to sit and watch the Manning thing, or would you be the guy, because you're gone all day? Like here in this job, you get to come home, you get to pick your kids up from school. If you were at work all day till 6 o'clock and you came home, wouldn't you be more likely to have the game on as so-called white noise, where you could see what's going on but interact with the family? The Manning thing, you got to listen and be locked in.
No, listen, you've got to listen and be locked in if you want to learn it, if that's what you're interested in. I'll use my friend, the great Tony Pavic, a co-coach of mine in every sport that I coach. He was glued into the Manning thing. He's got two kids. He works the 9-to-5 job. He lives the life of the picture you just painted. For him, it wasn't an issue that he couldn't watch it or that his family was taking him away from it. That's what he chose to watch because that's what he found entertaining.
Interesting. It was fun, and they're doing 11 games. I wonder, would the Super Bowl is with who this year? I don't know if it's NBC, if it's ABC, if it's Fox. I don't know who's got it. But if it's an ABC football, if ABC has or ESPN has a Super Bowl, they would be amazing in that scenario.
It's a regular season experiment, I believe. That's what I believe it is. They're not even doing a full 17 games. They're just doing 11. So hopefully the Bear game will be one of those.
The Super Bowl's on NBC, so it takes it out of there. One thing that happened on that broadcast I wanted to ask you in Shot or No Shot, so Gronk was on there, and Gronk was absolutely phenomenal. But the thing that everyone's talking about today, the biggest takeaway was that he said he doesn't watch film. He told a story about how Cameron Brate asked him if he ever watches film, and Gronk said, no, I just run by guys. When I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. Do you guys believe that Gronkowski, a future Hall of Famer, actually does not watch film, or is he just saying that?
Don't believe it.
I believe in Tampa, he probably doesn't watch as much as he did in New England. That was a requirement, and it was demand, because it's about excellence with the Patriots, especially in that championship window. I think with the Buccaneers, I'm not saying it's optional, but I don't know if he's in there breaking down every defender every day.
So Gronk did offer, though, the caveat, I think, later on, that he just goes into the huddle and asks Tom what the coverage is. He's like, Tom watches 40 hours of film a week. I know he's got me covered. He's just going to tell me what I need to do. And then he said, when we're in the whole group setting, I watch. So he did add like a little bit of caveat, but it sounds like on his own and stuff, he actually doesn't. I believed him. I don't think we were being hoodwinked, Hoodie.
No, I don't think that he spends a ton of time in the tight end room.
And why that broadcast is great, speaking of coverages, I never played football, right? I was too small. I never played football. Peyton Manning explained why sometimes you send three wide receivers out just to see who they have lined up on the tight end.
Sure.
Whether it's if it's a cornerback, they're in zone, and if it's a linebacker, they're in man. Like, when he explains that to the average listener, a.k.a. me, it's stuff I would have never known. It's like it's broadcast gold.
Yeah,
I mean, valid point. You know, no question.
Some analysts will just give you just the things that you should know or things that they know. But sometimes you like to have some granular detail. Football, still, you can still learn some every day from games.
All right, we go around the NFL with the great Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Next.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So, Metallica had a secret show yesterday at Metro. We had a man on the ground at the show. Our J.R. Strauss of our staff here, of our show on Cap J. Hood, was there When they say it's a secret show and all of a sudden, bam, tickets are out there. Does that mean they just announced it yesterday morning? It was gone. Like, how does that happen?
So it was rumored. I heard a rumor a couple days ago that this might be happening. Mm-hmm. And like you, I check my sources and I talk to people in the know. And I got it from a pretty good source. So I heard it might be happening. I kind of sent someone over to scout for me to see what was going on, to see if there were things happening down there. Because I live in the suburbs. For me to get into the city, it's a commitment.
Sure.
So it was confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
And I booked down there. I was probably 40th or 50th in line.
That's still, it's one of the secret things. And I think that's a hidden gem. When you can get a pop-up show, right, that comes out of nowhere. It's like, hey, there's a pop-up show. You got to be there. JR, that is something that's special that you just don't get every day, which I really think it's really cool.
It's epic because of the size of the band in relation to the size of the venue, right? If you remember, like 25 years ago, the Rolling Stones played the Double Door, and that was legendary. People still talk about that show. These are the tickets that you want to have, the big shows in the small clubs.
So when you say you got there 40th, 50th in line, you can't just buy it on your phone?
No. No, it was an in-person, old-school kind of a thing. You had to be lined up at the box office, and they were giving you a wristband, and you had to be vaxxed, and you had to show your card, and you got a stamp and a wristband. And if you mess with either of those things, bye, you're not getting in. I watched a guy literally get pulled out of line because he messed with his wristband.
Man, I mean, so just based on a rumor, though, Cap, understand, based on a rumor, if you don't have connections, maybe someone is saying, why is there a line at the Metro? Maybe something's going to, you know, I'm going to stay in line. Something's going to happen tonight, right?
Right. And you see these people lining up, and people started coming up to us, what's happening here tonight? What's happening here? And then we told them, they're like, oh, my God, stop what you're doing. I'm going to start texting everybody and saying, I'm not coming into work right now. I mean, I watched multiple people do it saying, sorry, I'm not coming in.
Man, you got to tell me about Riot Fest because I've been following you on Facebook. I'm living vicariously through you. No one had a better time than you the last, what, week?
Five days. I've had an incredible run that started Thursday night with Guns N' Roses at Wrigley Field. And then 3 days of Riot Fest, which included my first ever crowd surfing.
Have you seen this?
I saw the video.
Oh, my God.
It's
JR.
Unbelievable. Like, what is that like? And how did it happen? How did you get selected to be crowd surf?
So
what are you doing?
I didn't get selected. It was one of those things, you know, you're feeling it. You know, you're at a show and you're into the moment and you're kind of bouncing around and you're watching all those people and you're saying, man, that would be a lot of fun. You know, man, I'd really like to do that. And my friend Katie, thank you, Katie, who's like the little devil on my shoulder, taps the giant guys next to me and goes, hey, this guy wants to go up right here. She goes, give me all your stuff. I'll hold your stuff. And before I knew it, man, there I was. I was up surfing, and it was amazing. You can see the video on my Facebook page. I am at J.R. Strauss.
And nobody's so messing great. With you.
Nobody's messing with me. Nobody's punching me. You know, I think the beard helps. It's like, wow, look at the old guy. Look at him, right? I mean, it was unreal, and I'm glad I did it.
Like, when I'm watching the video, there's a girl who is behind you, and they dumped her.
That was poor planning on her part. I mean, you need a group of people to be in on this, especially when you get started. You can't just have one person just throw you up like that. That was scary. Every time I watch that, I go, every time I see her flip head over heels.
And so before that, also, of course, Summerfest.
Yes.
You're in Milwaukee as well.
Yes. Did Summerfest.
And you saw, it was Cult of Personality.
Amazing.
You saw
Amazing.
Them, right?
Yeah. Living Color was great. We you know, we live it up right. We do concerts well.
My wow. God. Yeah, I mean, this is the Midwest. So just give me the whole tour of the summer then. Everything that you went. Because Riot Fest was awesome.
Riot Fest was awesome.
I saw your video from Summerfest in Milwaukee.
Summerfest. I was at Guns N' Roses at Wrigley on Thursday night on the field.
On the field?
Yeah.
What's that experience like?
It was great. I mean, I've never been on the field for a concert at Wrigley before, but one of my friends, Janice, hooked me up.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate her, too. I mean, again, you know, it's friends helping friends, right? That's how the concert scene happens. And it's just so much fun when you're in a crowd with a bunch of people that all want to be there.
And so what do they do as far as the field? There's no tarp, right? Can you touch the infield?
No. Well, they've got like plastic boarding over it so they don't mess with the field. You can't walk on the infield. You can't go randomly in the dugouts. They've got it pretty blocked off where the infield area is fenced off.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. Glad you survived. You looked like a happy camper there.
Thanks, man. I mean, I love music. I love sports. Just happy to be able to do both.
God bless you.
And don't forget to catch JR on Will Rock over the weekends.
Weekend overnight, midnight to 6 a.m. Thank you.
All right.
Will Rock.
Is Matt Nagy in over his head?
95 Will Rock.
Is Matt Nagy in over his head?
The Rock Station.
In 2 minutes, and make sure you watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago, brought to you by Pinehurst Resorts.